Well, I hope you guys can tolerate me today. I don't know what's going on with my voice. One minute, my voice is good, and the next day, it just, something happens. So hopefully you can understand me. It's kind of, sounds pretty rough to me, but. So I have a question for you this morning. Do you believe the song that we just sang? We say we do, don't we? But do we really believe it? Do we believe it enough to live it out? This morning I want to talk about unity and love a little bit. And anyway, we're going to go to Acts chapter 15 in a minute. And I got a whole bunch of scripture today. I don't know what happens. You think something that's going to be relatively easy? Because unity's easy, right? No. But I thought it was going to be relatively easy. But as I got into it, there's a lot of different stuff you got to kind of look at. Like strife, like dissensions, conflict, all kinds of things that have to do with unity. So I found that it wasn't so easy, and I sure don't have all the answers here today. But I hope that I have some encouragements for you and some warnings or encouragements to really keep that in mind. Because as you move in to looking for a pastor, that can leave some real, the church can be real vulnerable. It can other times too, obviously. And I want you to look at this today as unity and love in other areas too. But I guess my motivation today was because of your moving into kind of searching for a pastor and stuff. Sometimes that can bring some really tensions and opportunities for Satan to get in there and stir things up. And that's not what we want. We want to live out what the Bible's talking to us about, unity and love. And as we go through this, I always think about, so what's the community think of our church? Or what does the community think of me or you? What would they say? Would they say something like, I don't know, I don't want anything to do with those people because all they do is fight, argue, whatever. I'll tell you, it happens a lot. I know people that don't go to church just because of some of those things. And it's a shame. I hope we are known for our love as Christian brothers and sisters. So I hope that you can pick out some of these things as we go through this today. But in chapter 15 of Acts, we see where there was some men, they were down in Antioch, and there was some teaching. Some people came in and did some teaching about circumcision and stuff, and it started causing some disagreements, you might say. And says it brought, in verse 2, it says it brought some sharp dispute and debate with these people. And so So they decided to go up to Jerusalem, send a couple people up to Jerusalem and see what the apostles and elders would say about this question of circumcision. So they went up there, and the Pharisees stood up and said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses." And the apostles and elders met to consider this question. And verse 8 says, "God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them, the Gentiles, by giving the Holy Spirit to them just as he did to everyone else." So anyway, and says in verse 11, "We believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as everybody else." Okay. So then if you jump down towards 19, talks about, "It's my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God." Instead, they decide to write him a letter and tell him to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. So the council decided to send a letter, and they chose a few men to go down to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, and they went and presented it to them. So it kind of shows how they went through the process of a dispute, you might say, or disagreement. And so I want to say, how do we go through those types of things? Not only when you're in the process of finding a new pastor, but any time. Because disputes come up and disagreements all the time with different people. And with us Christians, it's no different. It's how we go through those things that make the difference. So I want to tell you a little thing that happened, and Chris, you might be able to relate to this, being you were pastored to Summit Valley Church too. And so I remember when we were remodeling the stage area, and you know, we had everything tore up and the carpet was getting pretty wore out and all this stuff. So during that process, as we were getting closer to finishing it, we needed to get new carpet for the whole church, that whole area in the sanctuary. I'm like, yeah, I wonder how this is going to go. I mean, churches split over stuff like carpeting or the color of the carpet or whatever. And so I'm really paying attention and listening to what people are saying and different things. And some people come to me about the carpet and this and that and other thing. And I'm like, oh, wow. We had some ladies that were pretty opinionated or pretty strong about what they wanted and what they didn't want. I thought, oh man, how are we gonna settle this, Lord? Because I don't want it to be a problem. So I'm really praying about it and stuff. And I'm like, just put them all on a committee, and they have to make up their mind. So I picked out all the strongest ones that had the strongest opinions on it. And I said, okay, here's the deal. You guys are going to figure it out. I don't really care what color it is. I don't really care what texture it is. Or I don't really care about the carpet. It's whatever everybody wants. Just make a decision. And I'm like, make a decision now, not 2 or 3 weeks from now. I said, I forget what I told them, but probably a few days. It wasn't very long because I was like, I didn't want it dragging out. Just make the decision. And I'll tell you, it really surprised me because there were some strong personalities in there. And they come right back within just hardly any time at all. So said, okay, this is what it is. And I'm like, wow, they went through that pretty good. I thought it was going to be a train wreck. And anyway, how do we go through this? We talk about being brothers and sisters in Christ. We talk about loving each other. We just sang this song about love. Do you guys that were up on the worship team, do you remember some of the phrases that were in there that had to do with love? Can you guys, what were some of them? Do you remember some of them, Judy or Chris? Right. And it named some stuff in there, and I thought, man, that's really good. And
we'll work with each other.
We say that as Christians, but do we live that out? Do we do it? We try to do it. Sometimes I wonder if we're trying in our humanness, or are we doing it in the Spirit? How do we do this? Because obviously we all know that even in the flesh, we've got brothers and sisters in a family, and yet there's problems come up, and we fight about them sometimes, and yet we call ourselves brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we also struggle. We got to learn how to get through situations without hurting one another and stepping on one another. I can't think of the word I'm trying to think of, but so it's important in life that we're careful. And the word over and over shows us about these things and tells us to be careful, and he warns us about problems and different things. So these aren't going to be all the stuff, but hopefully there'll be some things here. But here's a verse in Proverbs 6:16-19. It's about, there's six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Verse 17, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil. 19, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. And another thing as we go through here I want you to see is the Lord talks about us getting along, and then he also talks about holiness. So they're like, when he talks about getting along with each other, loving one another, or being united, and he mentions it in the same scriptures that we'll point out a little later, and he talks about holiness, and I'm like, wow, this getting along with each other and being united is not a little deal. I mean, it's mentioned along with being holy. And I'm like, so we can't just take it real lightly. John 17:21 says that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me, I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. This oneness, sometimes I feel like we don't experience oneness like we really should in the Lord. It's hard to understand sometimes, but I guess, do we experience the depth of the relationship that the Lord wants to have with us, to where it's that oneness that was like between the Father and Jesus? And he's telling us that he was in him, and he's talking about him being in us. And then the last part, I think, is really important. It answers the question kind of why. Why do we need to be united? Why do we need to be loving one each other? That the world may believe that you have sent me. That the world might believe the Father sent Jesus here and he loves us. That's why we need to be careful. What does the community see when they see us claiming to be Christians? Do they see us fighting and arguing, going through church problems, church splits, and all these things? Or do they see our lives? Why is oneness or unity important? So that the world might believe that you have sent me. Romans 12:5, Paul talking. He's talking about conduct. He says, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each other belongs to the other, to all the other. One body. Are we one body? Again, people call each other brothers and sisters. In some churches, they say, hey, how you doing, brother? Or how you doing, sister? Is that just a phrase that we say? Or is that how we look at people? Each member belongs to all the others. That's a tough saying for us to live out. So when we say something nasty or say something about somebody else, that's not really acting like we belong with them, that we belong to them. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul again speaking, and he's talking about appealing for unity. And he says this, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, there's that word, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there might be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Those are pretty powerful scriptures. And when we acknowledge that there actually is problems with any group of people, just like with our own human brothers and sisters, they don't get along or agree always. I can remember having some terrible fights with my brother. It was horrible. We were just about ready to start duking it out, you know. And so there's troubles. But again, how do we go through those troubles? 2 Corinthians 15:11, Paul again speaking in his farewell and benediction, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. So if we'll do those things, he's saying God will be with us. But be of one mind, live in peace. Ephesians 4, Paul again speaking, it's about keeping what Christ already gave us by living it out in the Spirit. So we have this, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 through 26. And Paul said in Galatians 3, 3, not by attaining our goal by human effort. If we try in just our humanness, we're probably not going to, it's not probably going to work. Because in our humanness, we're still sinners saved by grace. And we're not perfect yet. The Lord hasn't come and changed us totally. But we have experienced salvation, which should change our heart and change some of the way we live and all of that. Obviously, there should be a big change in us. But we need to do it in the Spirit. And so we need to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So let's not look at it from just a human point. I need the Lord's strength to be able to do that, to live in unity and to love one another. In my humanness, it's not going to happen. Philippians 1:27, Paul again speaking, says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. So we're supposed to conduct ourselves in a worthy manner, worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There again, we take it so lightly, we don't think that what we say and do is always a big deal. But it is a big deal. There's people watching us that might not believe. They're watching to see how you live, what you do. I remember when I first came to the Lord, I had some friends, and I told my wife, I said, well, we'll see how long this lasts. And I watched them, because I wanted to watch and see if there's a change in the way they live and whether it lines up with what they say. And it did. And I'm like, wow, they made some pretty neat changes in their lives. I need to pay attention to what's going on. And it made me start to search. And eventually, a year or two later, I came to the Lord because I saw good things happening in their lives and coming out of them. Philippians 4:2, Paul again saying, and this was an incident of two women that helped him in ministry. And the verse says, and I don't know how to, everybody, I don't pronounce names very good. I plead with you. Anybody know the name? Erodia, something like that. I plead with, I don't know how to say that one. But it's two women anyway. And in this verse, it says, to be of the same mind. So Paul's saying, I plead with you, be of the same mind in the Lord. And this was somebody in ministry with Paul there. 1 Peter 3:8 is Peter. They don't want you to get the idea the only one who's talking about this stuff is Paul. Peter also and others. But anyway, Peter, 1 Peter 3:8, this verse comes under the heading, if you, most Bibles got some different headings, of suffering for doing good. Talks about passion, compassion. Talks about love. And talks about being humble and courteous. It says, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. So we've gone on about this for a while. The question comes down to, can we do this? Can we actually do this? Can we get through struggles or hard times in our lives and be this godly influence that God wants us to be? And I hope that you can answer yes. Here's some examples. In Luke, this verse was when Matthias was chosen to replace Judas. King James says, okay, well, I'll read it first. It's it's in the book Acts, not Luke. Luke was the writer, okay? Acts 1:14 says, they all joined together constantly in prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They all joined together. Well, obviously, they all went up to this place and they're all praying together. So you can either take it that way. But if you look at the King James Version, it says they continued in one accord. Not like they just got together. They continued in one accord, which is showing unity. Acts 2:1 also says that says they were with one accord. So Acts 4:32 says all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. All believers were in one heart and mind. So we need a heart change. We need a heart that's willing to be considerate of one another, to love one another, to be careful of one another. And I just want to encourage you, as you go through this process of finding a pastor, that you'll do that, because it's a very easy time for somebody to say, I like this guy. The next one says, well, I like that other guy. And it can cause problems. It's a bigger deal than the carpet in the church. But so you need to be careful of one another. We don't choose pastors, or we shouldn't choose pastors, maybe is a better way to put it. We don't choose pastors by a popularity contest or something. And I went through last week a lot of the kind of characteristics and qualifications and that kind of stuff of elders in the church and stuff like that. But it's an important thing. So be careful with one another. It was prophesied that unity would be a mark of the progress of true religion, spiritual unity. It's about continually being one, a oneness based on our common relationship of the Father and the Son. We are one as a body of Christ. We're one as the local church. The spiritual unity of heart, purpose, mind, and will. John 17:21, we talked about this earlier. It's kind of the same thing again, is back to that oneness, just being the one. If we go on from that verse, John 17:21, and go on to 21 and 23. The Savior prays for the unity, for a united church, that all of them might be one. Why? Again, it was answered in those verses. And verse 23 says also the same thing as 21. It says, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So it says it in verse 21. Two verses later, it says the same thing. It's important. We need to be the witness that we're here for. Strife, I mentioned earlier, and so that's something else I kind of looked up there. Paul talks about imitating Christ's humility. And in Philippians 2:3, it says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. That's saying, I put you first. I value you as a person. I value your opinion. I value what you have to say. In other words, we're putting the person before what we want. 2 Timothy 2:14 is Paul again speaking. Keep reminding God's people of these things. That's why I'm talking about this. I want to remind you of these things. And then it goes on, it says, warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and it only ruins those who listen. Man, that's a powerful verse there. So if we quarrel and we fight and we argue and we don't act very Christian, it says it'll only ruin those who listen. Not only the two that are involved in it, but other people that might hear it. So we need to be careful with one another. 2 Timothy 2:24. It's about arguments and quarrels. And it goes like this. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, and not resentful. Because sometimes we can get resentful, and that can hinder our relationships with one another. Romans 12:18. Paul talks about love. So I looked up about peacefulness. The righteous cultivate the spirit of peacefulness. Cultivate. So when you work up a piece of ground, you're cultivating it, your field or whatever. It's like we're not perfect, but we cultivate it. And he says he wants us to cultivate it. And it says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. We can't do a lot about the next guy, but we can do something about ourselves. We can change. We can ask God to help us to change, to give us the power to change, so we can do something about ourselves, but not other people. We need peacefulness. Hebrews 12:14 says, and the writer here encourages peace right along with holiness. That's why I said that earlier. But it says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. James 3:17. James was written by, probably written by James, I should say. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Verse 18, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. There's results of it. If we do it, you're going to raise a harvest of righteousness in others, even yourself mainly, but it'll probably happen in others, because when we treat people right, it tends to help them treat us right too, or the same within the church body. I also looked up social peace. Romans 14:19, Paul says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification." So there was some other things I looked up, like united in the body of Christ. Chapter 4 of Ephesians is about the unity of the Spirit. It's about ministry gifts and the purpose of the gifts. And I want us to just look at Ephesians 4, 1 through 7 and verse 12, and then chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. It says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." There's always a debate about once saved or always saved. Okay? Sometimes, and I don't want to get in that too far, I just want to say, does that change that the way we live? Because I believe, whatever you believe on that, that's okay. I believe we should walk with the Lord and live with the Lord during this life, okay? So either way you believe on that, it doesn't really matter. The Bible's still teaching us that we should walk out what we say we believe. And I want to urge you, just like it said, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you, it says, to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appropriated it. Verse 12, to equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Walk in the way of love. These verses are telling us that it is not by human effort, but by living worthy. Spiritual unity is maintained by being loyal to the truth and keeping in step with the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:12 talks about spiritual gifts. It says, just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many members form one body, so it is with Christ. In verse 25, still talking about spiritual gifts, but it says, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Wow. Kind of says several things we've been talking about already. In verse 31b, the second part of the verse, says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. What do you think it says?
the way of love. That's what it's talking about. I want to really encourage you to love one another. Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter. Chapter 12 that we just talked about leads right into that. Chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. If I speak in tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, it's just talk. It's talk. It's easy for us Christians to just talk. It's another thing to put it into action. I want to ask you today, would you pray about these things? They're again, I'm kind of bringing it out because of the, you know, the search for a pastor. But it's not just that. It's all the things in life. We need to ask for the Lord's strength in it. We need to walk the walk and talk the talk. Talk both, not just be like clanging cymbals here. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. We can have all these spiritual gifts or whatever. It says it's nothing. It's love. That's the main subject there. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Verses 4 through 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Verses 8 through 13 goes on and talks about love, and we're not going to read all of those. Romans 12, 10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above ourselves. And as you go through searching for a pastor, I hope and pray that these are things that you'll keep in mind. That it don't become kind of a circus like it can get and does happen in some churches. You can get through this without the struggles that sometimes we see in churches. So just be in prayer about it. Teresa, would you come in and read this? Teresa, would you come and read this? This thing. Found a, this happened to be a devotion that my wife happened to be reading as during this week when I was putting this together. I meant to read it at the first. It kind of set the tone and used some of the scriptures I used right at first. One or two. Oh yeah, we need a mic. Is this one good? But I thought it was real good. I was going to do it at first, but I guess it'll work at the end.
Some of you may have already read this because it's from Our Daily Bread. And it was Saturdays, March 7th. In January 1960, the town of Wintercon discovered it had been mistakenly omitted from the official Wisconsin state roadmap, costing the town vital tourist revenue. So the town decided to secede from Wisconsin and become its own sovereign state on July 21st of that year. Some say the secession was a move to embarrass the state government, while others claim it was a tongue-in-cheek act of humor. In any case, months of negotiations resulted in state and town coming together again on July 22nd, 1967. Most division isn't as good-natured or as easily resolved. Division is such a threat that the book of Proverbs lists the person who stirs up conflict as one of six things the Lord hates. Division may not only cause problems, but misrepresents Jesus and his Father. The night before the cross, Christ prayed that his followers would be one in him, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus made it clear that our unity as brothers and sisters in Christ, or lack of it, impacts the world's belief in him. Perhaps that's why Paul told the Ephesians, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. May we allow the Spirit of Christ to make us one, that the world may be drawn to him.
Thank you. Maybe it fit better there than it did at the beginning. I don't know. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray for this body, Lord, that you will help them be one. Lord, that you would help them to love one another, care for one another, that they'll be careful with one another. And the Lord, you would just take this church on even past what it used to be, Lord. We pray that you would fill this room with people. We pray that you would just help this body, even as few as they are, what a great job they've done of keeping on, Lord, and how they've shown how they care about each other and work together, Lord, even as few as they are now. But Lord, I pray that you'd help them to love one another. And as they go through this, I pray you'd bring the person here that you want for this body at this time in history. And that, Lord, you would just use these people, continue to use these people. Bring them the pastor they need for this time. And Lord, help them to just keep loving one another. Lord, I pray that the community around about this church might see these people treating each other as brothers and sisters, and that that would speak to their heart, Lord, about coming to you. Just like me watching my friends that had come to the Lord and how you drew me through that. Lord, would you draw people to you, Lord, by how these people treat each other in this body. Lord, we know that you draw people in many different ways, Lord. Help them to be great witnesses in this place. Lord, we thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess you guys have a song, right?